Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning. Tune is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Are we taking us in? We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's my man, Kelly Bidlin, everybody. How you doing?
Doing well. How about you?
I am well. What a, in the words of Howard Cosell, what a game this turned out to be.
Ah, it was amazing. Classic Jameis.
Classic vintage Jameis. We'll get to it momentarily. It really was. When they send that guy to the Hall of Fame, they should send that tape in with him. Oh, what's that? He's not going to the Hall? Okay. But that would be like, this represents your career tape.
Yeah, this is the it was the classic Jameis game. And hey, if you're not, if he's not on your team, if you're not betting on him, would you rather watch anybody else? That's all I got to ask.
Oh, God. We'll get to that. I just want to say we have Drew Densick coming up, the Whale Capper, of course, from both the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcasts. We will talk to Will Hill, all his bets. Paul Carr coming off the old clean sweep 3-0. He'll be here to talk Premier League with us. And Peter Futak, Heisman voter. Going to ask him straight up, who are you voting for? Actually, before I even ask him that, you know what I'm going to ask him? Because all these Heisman voters are deadbeats, these 938 deadbeats. I'm just going to ask him, did you already send it in before the championship games? Because they'd literally mail in their votes, I think.
We do need to get a timing update. I don't know how that works these days.
The deadline is after these championship games. December 9th is the deadline. But
okay.
Because they're deadbeats, let me just repeat that.
They have to
fax
them in?
They don't take their votes seriously. They just, I don't know what they do. I don't know if they mail them in. Literally, it would be great if they mailed them in. Because you could say, oh, you just mailed in your vote, you know.
Are we still using fax machines for national letters of intent?
Fax, telex, I don't know.
That was mind-blowing 10 years ago, and now we're in 2024.
Let's talk about this game last night. Broncos 41, Browns 32. I just want to ask you this off the top. If you're a Browns backer here, whether game, whether first half, whether in games, but let's just talk about the pre-flop full ATS.
Sure.
Is this one of the worst beats? I won't hold you to the worst beat of the year. Is this one of the worst beats of the year? Or is it, hey, you bet on Jameis, you should have known what you were getting into?
Okay. It's a great question, first of all.
Thank you.
Because from my perspective, it's definitely the second one, but I feel bad for you today if you had Browns tickets.
This is brutal.
Gotta know what you're signing up for.
Brutal. Let's just pick it up when it's 14-10 Broncos, late second quarter. So the Browns have the ball trying to cover the first half spread. They don't know they're covering the first half spread, but we do. All right. First,
I mean, Gil bet the first half spread.
First and 10 at the Denver 29. Jameis right to Nick Benito. 71 yards to the house, 21-10 Denver with 1:38 in the second quarter. And then Jameis, just to spite everybody, has a spite drive where he quickly engineers an 11-play 70-yard drive all through the air. Jameis to Njoku on third and goal at the 4, 21-17. Cleveland has themselves a double-dip opportunity. But that is, again, he had already thrown two completions for 44 yards before this. One to Jerry Judy, who had the greatest game of his career. And then one to Elijah Moore earlier of 44 yards. And then on this drive, it's all on Jameis's arm, but it's the spike drive after he throws the pick six to Benito.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, let me just say this. If you watch this game, if you watch every play, Jameis ended up with three interceptions, two pick sixes. He could have had at least four other interceptions.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Every ball he throws is in this minuscule window where Jameis says to himself, Jameis, I can do this. And he just rifles it into the smallest. You're just like, oh, every play, you're like, oh, my God.
I love the confidence.
Is that what your take was on that? That's pretty good. 21-17 Broncos at the half. At the halftime, Winston had 245 yards passing with the one pick six. Judy was 5 for 97 receiving. And it was a 298-141 total yards advantage for the Brownies. All right, same score. Denver, 3rd and 11 from their own 7. Nix to Mims for 93. What a pass. What a pass by Bo Nix.
It was incredible.
And Mims is always making plays. 28-17 Denver, 10 minutes left in the third quarter. But the next drive, first play, Jameis is like, watch this, to Judy for 70, toasting Levi Wallace. They're just killing Levi Wallace. Two-point conversion to Judy. It's 28-25 Denver with 9:50 left in the third quarter. 9:50 left in the third quarter. Jameis has 336, 9.1 yards per attempt. Judy, 6 for 167 and a touchdown. I mean, these are like, at this point, you're like, okay, what are the records for both of these? 554 is the record for passing yards in a game. Norm Van Brocklin, 336 Flipper receiving yards. The great Flipper Anderson, not so great, but the one of the all-time very good Flipper Anderson. Okay, so 28-25. Let's move it forward. This is later now. Jameis to Judy for 35 to start a drive. We're in the fourth quarter now. Later on 3rd and 8 to Michael Woods for 14, then on 3rd and 15 to Judy for 17, eventually to Chubb from 5 out in the end zone. 32-31 Cleveland, 8:57 left. Winston's got 446 at this point. Judy's got 219. And the Browns have 503 total yards. Denver, 4th and 1 at the Cleveland 9 with 2:57 left, down a point. Sean Payton thinks to go for it. Joe Buck then mysteriously announces that analytics say kick the field goal. What analytics are you looking at? Payton changes his mind. He opts for a Lutz 27-yard field goal. Were you okay with that at the time?
I was okay with it. I was okay with it. Yes.
I couldn't understand anything that was happening. I was like, Joe Buck, what? All of a sudden says kick the field goal there?
I was confused by that.
Yeah, I was too. Okay, 34-32, Lutz hits the field goal. 34-32, Denver. Cleveland gets the ball with 2:54 left. You're like, come on. Just, you know, you could win the game here. All you need is a field goal, but it's Jameis, right? Jameis is sacked immediately. Browns get behind the sticks. 3rd and 12 at their own 28. Jameis across the field to Elijah Moore for 14. Amazing catch, keeping both toes down to the sideline. 1:59 to go. Denver elects not to challenge it and waste their last time out. Next play, Jameis looking for Elijah Moore, picked by Jaquan McMillan, untouched, gets up, 46 to the house, and there you have it. Elijah Moore, by the way, the intended receiver, doesn't even try to tag him down.
Yeah.
He's out of bounds. He's lollygagging. He's like, oh, well, it's a pick. What am I going to do about it? How about run back on the field and tag him down?
I don't really understand how we see that as often as we do. Like, what does the receiver think? There's always going to be someone that's going to come over and touch him down. Like, I don't get that.
41-32 Denver at this point. And if you're back in Cleveland, you're like, This cannot be happening. But you know what? You have the ball again with 1:48 left. Cleveland, 4th and 10 at their own 25 to Judy for 16. Most receiving yards ever in a game versus a former team. Jerry Judy last night. 235 yards on 9 catches. So they matriculate. Subsequent PI to the 2-yard line. You got the ball at the 2. All they have to do is punch it in. That's it. They're going to cover. You deserve this cover, Cleveland Browns backers. You deserve it. And Jameis, Kelly, when I say Cody Barton is right in front of him, and he goes, Cody. Here's the ball. What in the world? He throws it right to Cody Barton of the Broncos. That's it. Broncos cover. Jameis, the quintessential Jameis game. 497 yards passing. Remember, again, the record is 554, so he's only 57 yards shy of that, but he has 3 picks, 2 of which are returned the other way to the house. So in the end, do you want that? It's just Jameis. Here's OptiStats putting this in context. This is amazing that someone thought to put this together. OptiStats saying Jameis Winston threw for 497 yards tonight. The Broncos also had 171 interception return yards against him. The 668 combined passing yards plus interception return yards off of his passes is the most by any quarterback in a single game in NFL history. Of course, you should really subtract the 171 from the 497, not add it. Details.
Details.
But
hey,
still.
You look at it either way, all right?
Jameis looks to a higher power to help him out with this problem that he has.
I am a better player, you know, but in times like this, you know, that's... It's an opportunity to continue to glorify the Lord even through the toughest circumstances. I know I'm better than this. I know I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes. Like, that's just that's not me. Like, a phenomenal game, offense, do some great things, but I messed it up.
Well, I wish the Lord had told me that Christmas tree was going to be this heavy this past weekend.
Best part is,
I figured that'd be his department. He didn't tell me that either. Listen, Jameis, the Lord first has to tell you to stop throwing it into little small windows. That, I mean, that's the thing. Again, three picks, two of which went the other way, but it could, there could have been four other picks at least in that game.
I just like, Jameis, it's not me. Bro, it's been you your entire career, man. It's all good. Like, we love you for it. Like, it's been you your entire career. What was the 30-30 season, the legendary 30-30 season where he needed to throw a pick six right for them to get to overtime so he had a chance to get the 30-30?
And like, he did.
And he did. Like, that's been you the whole time, man.
We were actively rooting for him to go 30-30
God,
that year.
Yeah, I was at the D cheering like a madman for that.
All right, last two things on this. How bad is Deshaun Watson that Jameis could do this with his offense? Deshaun Watson was they couldn't move at all.
We've been yelling this for months. What are we talking about?
By the way, how can someone explain to me how Deshaun Watson got this bad?
Because
he didn't used to be this bad. How does that happen? And then the other thing I say is the Broncos go to 8-5. They are in playoff position already. They are even more solidified in it. Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels, in your mind, a coin flip right now for Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, I'd have Daniels ahead, but.
And I think the market reflects that. Yeah. Jaden with a slight edge. But if you look at their stats, they're pretty darn similar.
I don't even know. Like, Jameis takes over the game so much last night. Like, I don't really even know what to take away from the Denver side. Like, it was just a track beat.
What a game this turned out to be. Gosell used to say that when it was a bad matchup and it still turned out well.
If I don't have money on it, give me Jameis every time. So fun.
Jameis just killing Browns backers at every turn. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Are you the type of guy who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? What kind of gal? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Well, you need to know about Sport Trade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. Minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110, instant in-game betting, and a concierge player service. Sport Trade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sport Trade is live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, now Virginia. Download Sport Trade, use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply, got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Eddie Vegan Runner. I hear eggnog in a mason jar is really good, Kelly.
Yeah, I wouldn't try it. Can't try it. I'm done on eggnog.
T. Sheldahl. Hey, man, how many matriculates were in that game last night? I lost count. It actually wasn't a big matriculate game because they were like huge plays.
Jameis doesn't play matriculation games. Come on.
Talk about matriculate, man.
Yeah, jeez.
Dave Ross. Hey, I know Dave Ross.
I know that guy.
Dave Ross, who hosts the Lombardi Line right before us. He says, I apologize to Gil and Kelly if there's any excess coffee on the VSiN set today. Apparently, he had to put down a coffee tumbler today. Was that? He had a disaster.
He was having some issues out here. Yeah, okay. He was having some issues.
Thank you, Dave.
Hey, Dave, as long as you didn't spill on yourself mid-show, that's all that really matters.
Hey, we got the number one seed markets coming up. Before we do that, can I give a documentary recommendation? People know where this is going. You have to know where this is going. Yacht Rock, HBO Max. Have you seen this yet?
No. There's also way too, like, you just said people have to know where this is going.
Well, because I'm about to recommend it, so they probably know that I'm into this.
But, like, there are new docs on these streaming services, like, every day. So, like, I don't know if people really knew that.
Yacht Rock. First of all, I hate the term Yacht Rock because it diminishes what this music is, right? Mm-hmm. Yacht Rock, by the way, it's Bill Simmons executive produced. Bill Simmons executive produced also gave us the 1999 Woodstock one, which is one of the great documentaries ever. But this one is it diminishes that time. The Yacht Rock was a term developed by some streaming comedy group to sort of give a catch-all phrase to this type of music, which is late 70s, early 80s, talking about Michael McDonald, Kenny Loggins, Christopher Cross.
Yeah.
Right in my wheelhouse, man.
Oh, it's great stuff. I love listening to it. I'm surprised you have a problem with the name. It needed a more succinct name to tighten it all up.
Well, what other
70s, 80s?
They pointed this out at the end. What other genre of music gets named 25 years later with some term?
I don't know, but doesn't it say something about the staying power of those types of songs?
Well, it says
or the resurgence of those songs.
Well, it says that it's awesome.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
But like, you know, they try to wedge Steely Dan into it. Steely Dan doesn't. I grew up on what they call yacht rock. Steely Dan was not part of that group. Steely Dan was a much different vibe to it, much more musically precise. Like, they were true amazing musicians. Not that these guys weren't, but Steely Dan was another thing. Steely Dan sort of blended all kinds of stuff. But this is, I recommend this documentary. If you have any sort of relationship with the late 70s or early 80s and this kind of music, which is just spectacular. Just, it's a lot of Fender Rhodes. It's just a groove. It's tremendous. You go to yacht rock stuff here in town.
I was going
to
say,
you?
I'll have to check it out. I was just looking up when Yachtly Crew is going to be in town next to play at the Palms, which I've seen twice. Amazing time both times. Everybody's wearing like a captain hat and everything like that. We're going December 28th. Write it down. Saturday night. Yep.
I guess we're going December 28th. Guess that's what we're doing.
It's a great time.
JC questionable call on ESPN WP says, yes, Bruce, but did you listen to me and Kelly do Saturday mornings together on ESPN 106.3 at 10 a.m.
That's my guy, Josh Cohen.
Back in the spring, summer of 2013.
That's right.
It's your guy, Josh Cohen. And Jeff Staples, matriculate. I'm just hoping not to throw another pick six. That's exactly what Jameis has to say. All right. Number one seed markets. Again, Yacht Rock, HBO Max. Check it out. Telling you. Thank me later. Number one seeds. This is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to start with NFC?
Sure.
All right.
NFC. This one's less interesting to me.
No,
but
I think it's more interesting. I think it's much more interesting. NFC, you have four candidates, and we have listed four. I think four realistic candidates, right? You have the Lions, who have one loss at -160. The Eagles are +190. They're 10-2. Lions are 11-1. They're -160. The Eagles and Vikings, who are both 10-2, the Eagles are +190, and the Vikings are 7-1.
Yeah.
This is for the number one seed. Remember, there's only one team that gets a bye now that there are seven teams in each conference that make the postseason. And the Packers, who have three losses, they're 30-1. 30-1. Now, you can throw out the Packers to me, because not only do they have the three losses, but their schedule's difficult.
But
they're 9-3.
Their schedule's difficult, but they play two of these teams that are on here.
They do. They play the Lions this week. Now, if you believe they beat the Lions this week, right, then maybe you consider it. Maybe you consider it. But it's for the same, well, it's not for the same reason. It's for different reasons that I actually like the Eagles. I like the Eagles at +190. I think this is a bet. Because if you look at the Lions, if you look at the Eagles' remaining schedule, Philadelphia Eagles, who are 10-2. Believe me, I'm no fan of Philadelphia Eagles. But they have Carolina at home, Pittsburgh at home, at Washington, home Dallas, home Giants. They're going 4-1. They're going to lose to the Commies, but they're going to win all the others, right? That's from my perspective.
Okay.
So if they go 4-1, they end up with three losses. The Lions, and by the way, the Lions right now, the Lions right now, they play Green Bay, then Buffalo. Let's say they split those. Then they have at Chicago, at San Francisco, Minnesota. They can figure out a way to lose one of those at the end. I don't know. I'm not so sure Philadelphia is not the bet at +190. And could you imagine after this season, the Lions not having the number one seed?
It'd be wild.
You like the Packers at 30-1? You would bet that?
No. I just wanted to throw. I just think there are more. I think all four of these teams, I wouldn't be shocked if one of them ended up there. I think the pricing is actually a little insulting on Minnesota of where they're at. I mean, especially since they have what, a game against the Lions and the Packers. We talked about that before. And they have, I mean, it's Falcons at home, Bears at home for them, Seahawks on the road, and then you get these straight up, you got Packers at home, and then you're on the road against the Lions. I would be running to make the bet. I just, that this pricing feels a little off to me, where if I had to make a bet, it would be on Minnesota at 7-1.
If you believe Green Bay beats the Lions, I mean, so much of this comes down to your Thursday night handicap. If you believe Green Bay beats the Lions outright,
mm-hmm.
then it should allow for the possibility of either an Eagles or Packers bet.
Yeah, I think in both of these markets, right? When we go to AFC, right? Yeah. Drew just kind of mentioned that Bills-Rams game. That's big. It kind of depends if you like these teams this weekend.
It really does. None of us mentioned the Vikings, who are also 10-2. Apologies, Vikings. I don't even have you in my top 10 power ranked.
I just did. It was the only one I'd bet. If I had to bet right now, it'd be Minnesota.
They've got at Detroit to end the season. And they got at Seattle. They got home Green Bay. That's a tough ending to the season, though, besides this Detroit game. They have a really tough schedule.
Falcons at home, Bears at home. I'm not really worried about that. Those are the next 2 weeks.
Excuse me, not Minnesota doesn't play Detroit this week, but they close at Seattle, home Green Bay, home Detroit.
Well, you got 7-1 in your pocket with going into those two teams. I don't know.
Okay.
Same record as the Eagles. I wouldn't make a bet in the NFC one. The AFC one, I was a little bit more intrigued by.
AFC, you agree it's a head-to-head between Buffalo and Kansas City?
Completely agree. Yes. And as much as I'm like, this game this weekend's tough, I agree with what both you and Drew said, that I feel like that line's a little off with that Bills-Rams game. I think there's probably a little value on the Rams side. Having said all that, can the Chiefs still continue to keep getting lucky? I think there's a little value on the Bills at plus 140.
The difference here is that the Bills have beaten the Chiefs. There is a head-to-head here. There's a head-to-head between the Bills and the Chiefs. So the Bills win every tiebreaker. Based on that alone, Chiefs have a one-game lead over the Bills. But if you believe the Bills lose to the Rams this week, or whatever your convictions are this week, right, this should then direct you towards, if you want to make a bet in this market, it should be correlated with what your handicap is for this weekend. I believe the Bills may lose outright to the Rams. So I would not bet the Bills, despite the fact that they have the head-to-head. I would stay out of this market. And I also think the Chiefs have been unbelievably lucky, as most do, and as the sort of luck meters on some of these advanced analytics sites tell you that they have been. But so I'm not making a bet here. The one thing that I will say, though, is because I believe the Rams may beat the Bills outright, and it's based a lot on that, the Rams running back, Kyren Williams and Blake Corum, against the Bills defense that basically allows you to run the football.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that will make me do? Bet Lamar Jackson at plus 950, going back to yesterday for MVP.
There you go. That was weird, man. Even in that Sunday night game started off weird with both those defenses being like, all right, we're going to keep our safeties back. And it was like, well, what do you think they're going to do in the snow? Like, they're going to run it right at you.
The footing was also problematic. But that's how I would play that AFC one, is I wouldn't bet the number one seed. I actually, if you believe the Rams beat the Bills, which I do, then you bet Lamar Jackson plus 950, because if the Bills rack up a couple losses down the stretch, then it becomes much more even playing field in that department between Lamar and Josh Allen. That's the thinking anyway. That's how I would play
it. I agree with that.
Coming back, Will Hill, all his bets next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With college football and NFL playoffs coming soon, now's the time to give yourself a betting edge with a VSiN Pro subscription. What are you waiting on? Daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, 19 hours of live programming, power strength and better ratings used by pro handicappers, plus our exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. Start betting smarter today for as little as $9.99. See everything VSiN has for you to up your betting game. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Trip Tepper, a documentary recommendation on Netflix, American Nightmare. Oh, I know this one. He says, a true crime roller coaster ride that will have you hooked from the get-go. Incredible three-episode series. This has been out for a while. I think I have recommended this already on the show. It is spectacular. It's about something that happened in 2015 in the East Bay, in the Bay Area, the East Bay of the Bay Area. Just amazing. Tripp said it perfectly. It will get you hooked from the get-go. It's a three-episode thing, so it's not a big commitment. It's spectacular. Michael Lafon, Yacht Rock. Christopher Cross is the greatest guy. When he was at the height of his popularity in 1981, playing that evening at the Knight Center in Miami, he spent the whole afternoon on the pediatric floor at Jackson Memorial Hospital. I was an intern. What a great story that is. Knight Center in Miami, where I once saw a Georgetown-Miami game where Tito Horford, Al's dad, was playing in that game, where they only had seats on one side. Christopher Cross not only a great guy, but they alluded to this in the documentary. He won, I remember it as being 5 Grammys his first night. They said 4 on the documentary. Basically his rookie season, his first album in 1980, I believe it was. And he didn't care about his appearance. He just didn't think that his appearance mattered to the craft itself. The music should be judged by itself. And he admits, like, if, and if you go back and you look at, like, YouTube videos of Christopher Cross, he's, like, wearing an Earl Campbell throwback jersey playing Salem. He didn't care. And it probably cost him a bigger career. And then MTV came around where visuals were such an important part. Corbin, please, for the love of God, bring up Yacht Rock on the Megapod. I need to hear Todd Wishnev argue with Gil about how Steely Dan is, in fact, Yacht Rock. We need a Yacht Rock segment in the Megapod this week or we riot. Your guy, Josh Cohen, says, nope, nobody, never. Legendary stream of consciousness in your Florida shows.
I made a comment about our Saturday morning show. Was, nobody was ever hungover, ever.
Ever.
Ever. In the history of the show.
Of course not.
Nobody.
John Blom, he said, as soon as Gil said I have a documentary recommendation, I said out loud on the treadmill, Yacht Rock could have live bet that in a 3-second window before he said it in cash big. See, I told you.
Yeah.
Thank you, John Blum.
I'm not a true crime documentary guy. I know that's like so like anti-American because that's like what everybody listens to podcast wise. And
the female percentage of that audience is unbelievable. The true crime.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. It's an incredibly popular genre. Podcasts. Docs, everything. People are into it. Brian Morianen, the conference championship appearance likely won't count against you unless you lose your starting quarterback. Shout out to Florida State.
Yeah.
Shout out to FSU.
I hope no such thing will happen to anybody this year. That would be so terrible.
Can you believe that happened? They went undefeated and they didn't let them in.
Wild. It's wild.
You're not a sport. You're an exhibition.
You want to talk
as long as you tell me that.
You want to talk to about it with Pete Fiutek?
Is Pete here now?
Yeah.
Oh, we switched it up?
Yeah.
Oh, lady, I didn't know that. Ladies and gentlemen, Pete Fiutek joins us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, to talk some college football with us. How you doing, Peter?
Florida State actually, they didn't exactly do well after that quarterback problem, did they? That's been a rough year for the Seminoles after that one injury against North Alabama, isn't it?
What does that have to do with them not getting in, though? Why is that?
We're not going to do this again.
No, we're not.
Get it right.
We're not.
But yes, it turned out to be the right move, but of course it did, because they were bad and Alabama and Texas were better. But now we'll get to see how this plays out. So you're complaining about a team that went undefeated against a mediocre schedule versus two more worthy teams. How are you going to feel about SMU if they get out for Alabama? Because I'll tell you up front, I'm with you. I will be with you. I am not for Alabama getting in it on.
Wow.
Whoa.
This is, ladies and gentlemen, this is the upset of the show right here. Peter Fiutek, noted power.
SMU's a Power 4 team. If you get, if you're in the bigger level, if you're in a Power 4 conference, now I'll fight that fight for you.
But wait a minute. You're not only a Power 5 now, Power 4 snob. You also have a hierarchy of snobbery within the Power 4, let's be honest, where SECs and your Big Tens are above the rest. So,
well, they are. They're more talented, but not when you play like Alabama did against Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. So there is a mix there of deserve and better. Like talent wise, Alabama's better than SMU. I mean, a lot of teams are better than SMU, but there is a mix here. So yes, my Power 5 snobbery comes from teams just having, like, you know, maybe one or two players on SMU could start on Ohio State, for example. But if you're in ACC in a Power 5 conference and you go 11 wins, in the history of the college football playoff rankings, no 11-win Power 5, now Power 4 team would have been left out of the 12. I'm with it.
Except for FSU last year, you forgot.
No, it would have been left out of a 12-team.
Oh, I don't know. 12-team. Oh, okay. 12-team, sure. 14-team, 12-team, sure. Yeah, whatever you want to move the goalpost to, sure. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's it. In the history of the 12, if you had a 12-team playoff, no 11-win team from a Power 5, now Power 4 conference would have been left out. Last year, you had to do it just because perfect storm. This year, you get to make an actual choice of one team with 3 losses, with 2 bad losses. It's not like they lost, to Georgia and you know, Tennessee in elite ways. They lost to two mediocre teams, Alabama did. So now it becomes a bit more of an interesting conversation this committee is going to have.
So let me just ask you this point blank. You believe that if SMU wins or lose, do you believe Alabama's in no matter what? They're going to wedge them in somehow?
Kind of, because you need one more team if you don't take SMU. Because if Clemson wins, Clemson's in. Because they'd be the ACC,
they'd be the ACC champ.
So they're not automatic. So, you could take Army.
All right, PP, let me get in a word edgewise here. I appreciate it. So if SMU loses a conference championship game, they are going to go against. This is what I'm worried about, right? Not worried, because I just feel it's coming.
Yeah,
they're going to go against their stated sort of, you know, mission here, and they're going to say, "Oh, we're actually going to penalize you for losing a conference championship game." Bama, there you go.
Possibly. Well, because now, again, you have to go with the committees do how the committee does it. You have to remember, they go line by line by line by line, and they say, okay, 25 team is here, 24 team is here, and they're arguing each point. The problem for SMU at this point, and I'm not making excuses, I'm just saying how the process works, is SMU, they don't have a great win, and their one loss is to BYU at home. BYU's not in the Big 12 championship. Where's your real power win if SMU loses to Clemson? Meanwhile, part of the problem with Alabama is there's a South Carolina issue. Because, one, if Georgia wins the SEC championship, for example, Alabama beat Georgia, that's the big resume thing. The second part of this, South Carolina just beat Clemson. So in a theory, with a lot of three lost teams, you can argue, well, South Carolina kind of belongs in over Clemson, but you can't do that. If Clemson wins the ACC championship, Alabama beats South Carolina. That's how they're going to rationalize this.
Yeah, I don't think South Carolina or Ole Miss, I don't think they're getting in. You think Miami's out?
Yeah, it's, again, where's your big win? And yeah. Now, to be fair, I say this, when you're in the ACC this year, there's just no real big great win this season for a lot of these teams.
Have you submitted your Heisman vote yet?
Of course not. The season's not over.
And
for the people who say, well, these teams get an extra game. Well, maybe the player is the reason they get the extra game. And that's why you do this at the very end. So I'm actually, shock of shocks here along, you know, this, I'm actually starting to become a little more of a Gil Alexander guy along Jesse.
Come on, Pete.
I am not a Travis Hunterite. I've seen Charles Woodson and Champ Bailey. I know them, and that's not Travis Hunter. But he's
call
not
up,
the best player.
Call up your Heisman, voting cohorts, and find yourself 11,000 votes. You know what I mean? Find yourself votes. just go in there.
It's easy. I'm not looking for much. Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's see. But Janty's got a rock against UNLV.
Yes, he does.
If Janty goes off and Boise State is in the college football playoff because of this guy, mainly because he's their MVP. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting call. And I'm not there yet. I could be Hunter, but
let me just say this. If he gets 200 yards, didn't have a great game against UNLV the first time. If he gets 200 yards and Boise State wins, you're voting for Genty. Yes.
I cannot say this under penalty of death in the Heisman community, but okay. We will discuss in full afterwards.
Okay.
I honestly have not made up my decision yet on this. But just I'm not going to be told it's got to be Travis Hunter like ESPN's making.
There you go. I like that. Thank you, Pete. Last thing before we go, real quick, what's your favorite bet here in a conference championship game? Which would it be?
I'm still taking Georgia beats Texas. I'm going to stay Georgia beats Texas, Clemson beats SMU. So take those and go with them.
Peter Futak, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, they're going to wedge Alabama in. I feel it. I feel it. Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it as always.
There you go.
The great Pete Futak at Pete Futak, FIUTAK on Twitter, collegefootballnews.com. We didn't even get a chance to say that at the beginning.
That's right. Great stuff from Pete.
Always great. Paul Carr on the other side. Coming back. Numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You ever bet the horses?
Yeah, sometimes.
Do you really?
I mean, very rarely.
Are you lying
to us?
Triple
Crown.
Are you lying to us right now?
No? I could be talked into a good race bet.
Take your betting to the next level by playing the ponies on First Bet from Del Mar and Gulfstream Park to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness. First Bet has you covered. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, sdbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today.
Yeah, you're telling me that, okay, so when we have people on the show all week long, when I hear that a couple guys I really respect are on the same NFL side, fine. But when we get Samich and Felica both on the same, like, 6-1 shot, I get intrigued.
I do, too. But, like, it rarely works out for me.
I mean, sure, but I bet it.
But I bet it. I hear you. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. C. Spackler. I enjoy Gil's polite tension when disagreeing with a guest. Futak brings that out with me.
Pete's the best, though. Pete's got more of the Megapod vibe. Oh, where, yeah. Where you gotta tell him to shut up so you get a sentence in sometimes.
I love that kid, but he says it's like so many objectionable things to me that if I don't get in right at that moment, I'll forget the first three.
I'm impressed, though, with the Bama, considering...
He agrees with me that Bama's going to weasel in, and he's not going to be happy about it, which is progress with Pete.
Yeah.
Progress.
I was more shocked by that than his Heisman thoughts.
Ooh, 3-Jack H3131. Uh-oh. Has Todd been rubbing off on Futak? Gil had to step in. What about a Wishnev Futak debate on the Megapod? Topic, Yacht Rock. Shades of Mako. I did not expect that answer from Pete regarding the Heisman. Let's go, Genty. It's there for you. The resume at the end can look very nice. I took that to mean, I know Pete is, he cannot say what he's doing.
Yeah.
I got a yes vibe from him. That if Genty goes off, and Boise State wins, and therefore are in the playoff, he's going to vote Genty.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe I got as well.
So we are 1/938th of the way there.
I was going to say, there's a couple other things to keep in mind from that interview. Clearly, there are voters, right? This is very much up in the air still in some of their minds. And two, there's so many of them that if you're having a conversation about the Heisman Trophy and who should win, maybe at your local watering hole tonight, maybe just take your voice up a notch or two, because there might be a Heisman voter in that same bar, because there's only 9,327 of them.
Mm-hmm. 938, roughly, but yeah. What do you need? You don't need all of them. You just need a majority.
You don't need
of them.
All of them.
Yeah. I really do. By the way, Genty 18-1.
You add in a little bit?
I did not. Hunter -8,000. The reason I didn't add is because I am worried that a bunch of these voters, I called them deadbeats earlier, and they are. You know a Heisman voter. You don't have to say the name.
Yep.
You know a Heisman voter. Explain his behavior on this.
Yeah, it was someone that worked in a college town market for a very, very long time, had left that market, had gotten his Heisman vote then. I'm pretty sure still has it 20-30 years later when he has not worked directly in college football for that long.
And you said to me, and we did not talk about this before, and yep. You said that thing I brought up about McCaffrey, he never saw McCaffrey play.
Yeah.
Not once.
I wouldn't go that far, but like everything we talk about with the biases is so true.
Okay. So these are Heisman voters, and a lot of them have probably already sent in their votes.
Yeah. I mean, at least the ones that think it's Hunter and will not be changed, those have been sent
they will
in.
Not, and they will not be changed with their minds. That's right. So I didn't add more. But I listen, I made my case for Genty. I stick by it. Ladies and gentlemen, he went a cool 3-0 in his Premier League picks this past time that he was on the show. He joins us now, moving the sticks in your betting accounts each and every year on the show. It's Paul Carr to talk some Premier League with us. He's from True Media Networks. He's the host of the Expected Value podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at, get this clever Twitter handle, Paul Carr, C-A-R-R. Yeah. How you doing, Paulie?
I came up with that one myself.
Pretty good. Were you worried that someone else was going to have it already?
I actually had to get it from somebody else. Ooh. There was someone who had not used it at all, and I DM'd him, and like 6 months later I heard back, and he's like, sure, take it. So that worked out well.
Wow. That's nice.
I do have a quick Heisman voting story.
Please.
So I used to work, it's way back in the day, this is 2002, I was a producer for a radio show in town, and the host had a vote, and he wanted my input, and I tried really hard to get him to vote for Brad Banks over Carson Palmer. That was I was harping on him for like 2 months about it. Brad Banks, Iowa quarterback, but mm-hmm. he still voted with Carson Palmer, so... And he sent that one in himself. He let me vote for some other stuff for him, but that one he insisted on sending. So sorry, Brad. I tried.
Was the message of that story to say, thank God you don't have a Heisman Trophy vote? Or was that what the message was?
No. Oh, okay. I should have a Heisman Trophy vote. No, yeah. I should not have a Heisman. No, I should not.
Yeah.
But well, I paid attention at the time to college football a lot more.
Let me ask you a question or two, if I could, about the Premier League. One, and both of them are around Man City. First, and it's both sides. First, Man City to win the title, that's donezo, right?
Yes. I mean, they're +700, so this is not going out on a limb, but you need roughly 85, 86 points probably to win the Premier League, at least. For City to get to that number from today, they would have to play at a 99-point pace, meaning get like 2.6 points per game. And only two teams in the Premier League era have ever gotten that many points in a season. So they'd have to play as like the best team the Premier League era has seen to get just to get to roughly what will win the title. And that might not even be enough. So they're done from a title perspective, I think.
Liverpool minus 170 to win the Premier League, and Arsenal plus 275, followed by Man City at 7-1, 7-1. By the way, the Arsenal fan and my valet that used to park our cars, yeah, he got fired. He dinged up a couple cars, so he's no longer with us.
Are you serious?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
I hope that's not related to Arsenal not winning the title last year. Yeah, he's frustration or something.
If I told him Arsenal was plus 275, he would just shake his head and be like, "We're not winning it." He was such a
defeatist. That's way too short.
Yeah, that's the Arsenal fan. The other Man City question is, because this came up last time, because I think Felica bet them to get relegated at a certain number. Yeah. Well, you're laughing, but I guess part of that calculus is these sanctions. Can you explain what these are and how likely they are to come down?
Yes and no. The short version is there are these financial fair play rules within England in the Premier League. You know, your revenue and how much money you bring in have to balance out to some degree. And they're saying the City has had workarounds for these, whether, you know, lots of different ways they get around it, bringing in money other ways, not counting it, stuff like that. So they're basically saying they violated, you know, I guess it's not a salary cap, but it's in the same vein as violating the financial rules of the league. This has been out there and they've been charged with triple digits of violations. It's almost a running joke of like, maybe next month we'll hear something. Maybe next month we'll hear something. I don't know. So that's really kind of where it is. I wonder, and this is unsubstantiated, this is just speculation. At some point, is City this season just going to be like one of those college football teams who's like, we'll suspend ourselves from a bowl game this year. Right. And they're like 3-8.
Right.
And they're not going to make it, you know, something like that. So I wonder if City will just kind of like eat it this year, knowing that this is kind of a lost season anyway. I don't know, but it feels like that could be a possibility if there is any sort of, you know, plea deal or whatever you want to call it here.
Yeah, because you're right, because we've known about this for months now, right? But nothing has happened.
Yeah, what does that mean though, Paul, if Man City does that themselves this year? Because they're not going to put themselves in relegation territory, no, right?
But will induce what you're saying is the Premier League itself to say, okay, we'll sanction you now?
Presumably would be a fine and a point reduction. Mm. Yeah, I'm sure City would not agree to anything that would get them relegated, but you know, they could afford to, you know, whatever, get a, making it up, 10 or 15 point deduction or something and still be fine.
All right.
It is funny though, if you look at the relegation odds, it's like the six bad teams that are really contending and then City is next. Like they're seventh to be relegated. It's like plus 900 or so. It's not likely, but it's funny just to see the odds because the bookmakers are sort of hedging. Otherwise, City would be like plus 50,000 or something.
Yeah, they got some bad teams, though. Southampton with 5 points through 13. Yeah,
they're about done.
Yeah, they're about done. Ipswich Town, 9 points, as do the Wolves, 9 points. Crystal Palace with 9 points. So there's a bunch down there for sure. Okay, speaking of which, you went 3-0 quickly. Your three this week are...
All right, we'll start with two of those relegation teams. Ipswich Town, Crystal Palace. This one's today. We got midweek games. I have over 2.5 at minus 115. Ipswich games at home tend to be a little more open. They've conceded in all 6 games. They've scored in 4 of them. Palace, similar types of numbers on the road. So I think there's just going to be goals because both teams want to win this one. Over 2.5, minus 115.
And then tomorrow, you have 2.
We're going to keep fading Man City. 7 in a row, they have not won. So I'm going to take Nottingham Forest double chance. I mean, I've hit on 6 of these. I'm just going to keep betting against City until they show me something. Forest, decent team, solid defense. Yeah, City may run away with this. It's going to happen sometime, but Forest double chance plus 225.
That's a win or draw double chance.
Win or draw plus half a goal. Same bet, sometimes different labels.
All right, and then the rare Paul Carr under.
Under. You know, we've been having success with Liverpool unders this year. We'll stick with it here. Under 3, minus 125. The under 3.5 numbers are kind of catching up with us. They're super juicy this week, so passing on that. But Liverpool... 2 of their 13 games have had over 3 goals this season. 8 of Newcastle's 13 have had 2 or fewer goals. Liverpool, again, I've said it time and again, they control the games. 2-0 is kind of their perfect sort of game where it's not too crazy. They're in control, get a goal or 2, call it good. So under 3, at -125. This one is tomorrow.
All right. Ipswich Town and Crystal Palace. That's today. Over 2.5 goals. Then tomorrow, Nottingham Forest double chance at Man City. Paul got it at +225. Shop around. And then Newcastle and Liverpool, the under 3 goals as well. Paul, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
You bet. Have a good week.
Off a 3-0 sweep, he tries to back it up with another. We'll settle for the 2-1, but 3-0 would be nice.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Our G-Bank best bets of the day on the other side, and Kelly's thoughts on the NBA Cup. It's a numbers game.